We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com. We're going to play on and stand strong with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Bump up the volume. It's time to play ball.
Man, what a show this is going to be. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs. It's 95-7 The Game. It's the NBA Draft. It's Bumgarner versus Max Muncy. It's a little bit of NFL discussion. And quite frankly, it's mostly going to be 3.9 hours of shenanigans masquerading as hardcore sports analysis. Great to have you with us today. Greg Papa to talk about baby knees at 8:30. Mark Spears at 9:05. The big man is back, Lorenzo Neal. Great to have you with us. How you doing?
The fat boys are back. I'm great. I'm here. We're ready to rock and roll, boys. Took a couple days. Wasn't R&R. It was rough. It's a jungle out there, but I'm ready. I'm ready to roll. Ready to roll.
It's good to have you back. I took up the mantle during the Pop interview Tuesday when you were out. We've been going back and forth, being ridiculed by Papa. It was my turn on Tuesday.
Really?
Somehow Adrian Peterson and his knee came into the conversation. We were talking about Klay Thompson. And I brought up, because he mentioned how AP came back so fast, and I go, it's because of the baby knee.
Yeah.
And he stops, baby knee. I go, the baby knee. I go, when Dr. James Andrews performed the operation, he went in, and he was like, oh, my God. For all the football this guy's played, the wear and tear, this knee looks beautiful. It looks like a baby's knee.
Right.
He's like, I've never heard of that. Baby knee. I guess you know more than me. And
come
I was like,
on,
it's
Joe.
Not about establishing anything. It was just an anecdote, a joke, and it turned into a whole thing. And then it was like, all right, my mom called me.
Really?
She was listening to it. She's like, baby knee. And it's like, look, I would rather just move on. I'd rather just move on. So
come
today,
on, Joe.
It's good to have you back. If you could ask a stupid question that he could ridicule you for, that would be great. Well, or if you ever want to get involved, by the way.
Yeah, we'll get into some prospects today, and maybe I'll try to cross them up with what I think the Warriors should do and exactly the type of player, wing or two guard, because Pop will be live from HQ with Bonte Hill, so I'm sure the majority of their focus will be laser ready on the 28th pick.
I just hope that you know, the great Rick Barry's on the show, where you can ask him how he stole a game. Dibs, we never. I hate when people say you steal a game.
Dibs is still shook from that.
Yeah.
I'm still shook from the Bruce Bowen shakedown of 2017 when I dared to call Klay Thompson a two-way player. And subsequently, by the way, every NBA analyst from Canada all the way down to Mexico uses the phrase now after I started the trend.
You
of
have
two-way
started
player.
A trend. I mean, it's almost like Hiroshi's. I think that we should get one day where we just have all the stupid questions and all the great answers people have, you know, bestowed upon us. And
I got one for you. I was asking Anthony Slater about John Wall and his prospects for a game against the Warriors like a night after he tore his ACL and was done for the year. The Achilles or whatever it was. He's like, well, he's done for the year, so the Warriors don't have to worry about him. He was like, huh, probably should have known that going into the question. Slater, of course, didn't feel the need to ridicule
me.
Just kind of highlighted the fact that I was an idiot and went back with his analysis. All right. We start the show with a lot of mistakes, but we would now like to transition into some successes. It's nice.
It is really nice.
Would you like to handle the honors here?
I would love to play the role of St. Peter because as painful as it was to see the Golden State Warriors go down in six games, you lose Klay, you lose KD. Ultimately, takes that are correct need to ascend. And your take of the Raptors winning the NBA championship, it must be appreciated and acknowledged. And so your take now has the opportunity to ascend to the pearly gates. Welcome, winning take. How does it feel? Put aside your feelings about being on the Warriors flagship and having so many people try to hate on you. Congratulations. You had this one right, Lo.
Yeah, you know, and this, like, you know, how great thou art, this song is fitting. It's not about being great. It's about just telling the truth. And I'm telling you right now, the truth sometimes hurts. And it hurts to the core.
To that core.
But sing my song, how great they are. You still just say, you know what? In spite of, I'm going to tell you what my opinion, good, bad, or indifferent. But honestly, it hurts. It really hurts because you wanted to be wrong. this Warrior team, the way they fought, the things that they showed you that they had the heart of a champion. And unfortunately, the things that I said came to fruition, but I wanted to be wrong.
Amen.
I think we all wanted to be wrong. I think we all wanted this team to be
wrong. We all wanted you to be wrong.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be wrong.
That's a good way to say it.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you. And
also, what do we have that saved under? Like, I'm just curious as to what we have that saved under. It's very lovely music.
It is a beautiful song.
I feel much better about myself.
Good.
Nice guy. What did you label that?
How great thou art.
Pearly Gates music.
Thank you. Yeah, Pearly Gates.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's make it obvious. Let's, you know, not lose it in the shuffle.
But, that way when you forget what it's called and you're like, damn, what's that Pearly Gates song? And you try to Google it in the system at 4:30.
You should Google it and just listen to that song.
I'm good.
It's a really beautiful song.
I actually might play that on loop on the way home today. I very much enjoyed that. I feel better.
Yeah, it's
and I didn't even hear what you two were saying because
the music.
I could get the gist. I'm pretty sure I knew what was going to be said.
As a little kid growing up in Sunday school and at church, every now and then I would have to sing that song, and it was a very beautiful song.
We may have to shorten shorten the bit a little bit. That way he can, you know, punch it up a little bit quicker. We don't have to go all the way back to Sunday school and all that. But that's a little look behind the curtain for those
all
of you
right,
out there.
We're not going to immediately tear each other down. Amen. Get something right. We got to go ahead and let that marinate.
Okay.
Because we have a funeral and then we go on and on for another 20 minutes about the funeral. So if we're going to do something nice, we can go ahead and if we're not even going to be nice, we can just be neutral.
Yes.
We can be neutral. So let's transition into tonight's NBA draft. First three picks off the board expected to be number one, Zion Williamson to the New Orleans Pelicans. Number two, Ja Morant to the Memphis Grizzlies. Number three, RJ Barrett to the New York Knicks. I will say this. Barrett to the Knicks is three, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then four, it's the Pelicans again. All right. I'll say this. Right now at plus 700, so 7-1 odds, you can make a bet that New Orleans trades up to number two and takes Williamson one and Barrett second. That bet was 28-1 yesterday. It is now 7-1 today. There are rumors that the Pelicans are trying to put a package together so that they can get up to two. Memphis will slide back to four. They'll probably take Garland, the point guard out of Vanderbilt, I believe. And then the Knicks will sit at three and try to figure it out from there. They'll take Ja Morant, most likely. But this would put Williamson with college teammate and friend RJ Barrett on the same team, immediately creating an awesome story out of New Orleans. There's a lot to slice about this, and we're going to get into the Warriors and all their options at 28, but I want to begin with this. Zion to the Pelicans, he's likely going to be the number one pick. The pressure on this kid, the hype. Are you excited about him in New Orleans? Like this whole scenario, it feels exciting. Should I be this excited?
Honestly, Joe, there's not I know people say New York and all those different things. There's not a better place that he can go than New Orleans. You look the way that city welcomed Ben Drew Brees. And all due respect, I know you guys think that I'm joking around because
no, this is serious.
But
serious
if
sports
you see
talk.
The way they welcomed Drew Brees, and even in the tragedy with the oil spills, Drew Brees became godlike. They don't even say Brees. They say Breezus. They call him that in the Voodoo Dome. They love him. I talk to, you know, the people in New Orleans. I know people there, you know, Lowe's from New Orleans. His family's from New Orleans. They are so excited to get Zion. They are looking at him as a savior. They were happy Anthony Davis was going.
Oh, really?
I promise
there's some basketball hype in that town these days.
It is some huge basketball hype. They think they got two sports gods in Drew Brees and Zion. This community will rally. He will have the key to he will be what he would have been to New York, you understand? But New York, you know, the ridicule. New Orleans? Bro, those people there are going to welcome him with
they got
horns.
His back.
Absolutely. And he is going to be a god in New Orleans, bro. That town is going to be on fire with Zion way more than what he'd be in New York.
Are you excited about this? There's a lot of hype, and I'm thinking for the first time in a long time, it feels like the LeBron James situation. We've been following this kid since he was like 13. We've been seeing YouTube highlights. These guys come around very rarely. Bryce Harper was one of them. LeBron was one of them. Now it's Zion set to take on the NBA as the number one overall pick. Do you think he ends up living up to this hype?
I think the hype is so big that it's almost impossible to live up to, but I think that he will be a legitimate pro. He'll be a great all-star. And he goes first overall. So you look at the long list of guys who've gone number one overall. It's not a guarantee that you're going to be a phenomenal player. And I kind of think about this as it relates to Kyler Murray and the hype there. Arizona, maybe not the best football market, but he makes Arizona something now, watchable. And it's the same for me for New Orleans. I'm excited he's going to New Orleans because if New Orleans is jacked up about it, now you have another team
right.
that you look forward to watching
right.
in the association.
And the thing about it, guys, you have a market in New Orleans that people have kind of forgotten market, especially when it comes to basketball. Now you got instant gratification. And the thing about it, you don't got a championship team, but what you do have is excitement. You have a team that's going to give you high-flying. This is Michigan, even though they didn't win a national title.
Fab Five, you're talking
Fab
about.
Fab Five. You think about the guys that they got, what they acquired from the Lakers, and the young amount of talent. It is going to be beautiful to watch.
Cozumel, earlier this week, when he brought it up, he I think he phrased it perfectly. New Orleans is going to be league pass basketball. You buy the league pass to watch New Orleans play. And I thought about that. And the idea, whether or not they get Barrett, I was just thinking about that. I'm like, this is going to be a team. Watchability factor. The Lakers next year, watchability's up. Warriors, obviously, always with the watchability. Philadelphia's had some intrigue. Toronto was interesting. Milwaukee. But now New Orleans is suddenly taking on that mantle of, you might not win 60 games, but you are going to be very watchable.
Tell me
very
something, watchable. Guys. You guys don't think this is a top five team to watch in the NBA now? After with the, all the trade?
Let's discuss that.
That's a nice
watchability team. Rankings coming up next. Watchability rankings along with, we got to get low caught up. What do you think about Anthony Davis to the Lakers? And what are the Warriors going to do at 28? All that good stuff coming up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Today, 95.7 The Game is live from Warriors headquarters for the NBA Draft.
The Golden State Warriors select Klay Thompson from Washington State University.
Papa and Bonte get you ready for the NBA Draft with player previews, trade possibilities, and more.
A Klay trade!
The NBA Draft Special, starting today at noon on 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Greg Papa will join us today on the Dialpad guest line. All guests appear on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video messages, and meetings across existing devices. Papa at 8:30, Mark Spears at 9:05 on what the Warriors plan to do at pick 28. We will get into that in just a moment, but an excellent question from Lorenzo Neal heading into the last break. If Zion Williamson lands with the Pelicans, which is what we expect. Forget about the idea of them trading up to get RJ Barrett. Let's just stick with what they got in the trade from LA. Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart. They already have Drew Holiday. They bring in Zion Williamson. Where does New Orleans fall in the watchability rankings? So think about next year during the regular season. It's, say, Wednesday night. You've got the league pass. You can watch any team play. Everybody's playing. And no one's got a marquee matchup, right? Like, you're not going to get Milwaukee-Toronto the rematch. You're not going to get LeBron going up against the Warriors. Everybody's just in a relatively neutral match. What are going to be your watchability rankings? The Warriors, for a while, held the mantle as the number one most watchable team, but next year, probably not going to be there. How do you see it as we start to comprise these rankings?
As I look at my top five, I don't have the Warriors in there, and this will be for the first time in 5 years. And even though I love Steph, love watching Draymond, and can't wait to see Jacob Evans, they're not in my top five.
You're getting pointed at.
Before you go there, let me dive a little deeper for you can kind of think this out.
Please.
Okay, so get your top five watchability. You're talking about the Warriors, all those teams, top five, top tier, and then get to top five. It doesn't have to be great teams. Don't have to be you're thinking going to compete for a championship.
Oh, of course. It's just watchability.
Watchability,
yes.
And then teams that are you know, competitive. So I don't want you to mix
Here's
those
an example. The Kings were very watchable last year.
Right.
Very watchable.
Okay.
They weren't very good, but they were very watchable. Is that what you're getting at?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think Houston would be a team on the other side. Houston was very good, obviously not championship caliber, but to me, not very watchable.
Really? Even with Harden putting together those, and I know we make our jokes, but Harden put up such ridiculous numbers last year, that felt like it was pretty watchable.
I don't really care for the way he plays, the ball dominant style.
Look at you.
I like the Euro step and his ability to shoot and the step back daddy, it's great, but to me, his style of play, it's predictable. I'm not saying it's stoppable because no one's been able to stop him, but it's not a fluid, exciting, up and down ball movement. Hey, look at James work off the ball. It's not what he does. So
right.
I think they're good. To me, they're on the other end. My top five watchable And in no real particular order, because I haven't had a chance to really pick through it here over the past 90 seconds.
That's perfect, because it gives us an opportunity to ridicule when you're wrong.
I like it. I have the Lakers in there in my top five watchability. Philadelphia is in there. Milwaukee, the Los Angeles Clippers, and I'm assuming projecting Kawhi Leonard.
That's okay.
And then the Dallas Mavericks are my fifth team in there.
The Dallas Mavericks.
Shout out White Guys, yeah.
Yeah, look at you.
Nice.
Hopefully Dirk comes back and gives you the trifecta there of
it would be nice.
White Euros.
J.J. Barea is a good little player, too. I like J.J.
All right, so give me your top five again in terms of watchability. No particular order.
Lakers and Clippers.
Top five next year watchability.
Lakers, Clippers, the 76ers.
Going back to those pizza delivering days.
Yeah, oh boy. David Faustino gave me a nice tip.
You're so stupid.
Philadelphia, you, Milwaukee, and the Mavericks.
Milwaukee and the Mavericks. Very interesting. Lorenzo Neal, your top five watchability. Watchability rankings for next season based on a lot of things we have to project at the current moment.
Yeah, you know what I did, Joe? I went a little deeper than that and just, you know, kind of wanted you to kind of see how well-versed that, you know, your boy was. I mean, let me give you some five teams that you think that, you know, five teams that I think the watchability, you would have to say, of course, the Kings, Atlanta, Dallas, and I think the Lakers. And if you're talking about teams that are watchable but also great, the good teams, you got to say Dubs, Toronto, Milwaukee, 76ers, and what Portland was able to do. So I think there's two sides of watchability and how good you are and also just watchability. So definitely you got to throw L.A., Kings, Atlanta, Dallas, and of course, New Orleans. Those are your teams.
I'm with you. I have Sacramento and Atlanta on the list.
Yeah.
I have Sacramento, and there's personal reasons to that. Number one, with Atlanta, Steinmetz got me on the over for the win total last year.
Exciting.
And I bet it with them. So I was following them a lot more during the season than I would other random teams, and they're fun. They're fun. They got through the first couple months of the season. They hit their stride a little bit. They put some numbers up. When they lose, they might lose 129, 126. Like, they'll give you a good game. They're fun. And the Kings, same thing. I was betting a lot of Kings totals last year, and I found myself in a ton of shootouts with the Kings last season. So watchability, those two are there. New Orleans, no doubt. I am as big a Zion fan as you can find because of the way he's carried himself. We have put him in the public spotlight since he's like 14. We've been all over him about everything. He's had every opportunity as a young kid to screw up, which is what every young kid does, and he doesn't. He doesn't. He picks Duke. He goes there with two other teammates. He doesn't have a falling out with Reddish or Barrett. He goes about his business. He sets an example. You don't hear anything about him skipping classes or getting arrested or causing problems. Performs at a high level. Becomes just what? The third freshman to win the Wooden Award in the last how many years alongside Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant. Blows the shoe out, which becomes like this cultural phenomenon.
Oh,
everyone on earth says, no way he should come back. We all make that decision because we're worried about his money. He says, no, I want to play. Yeah. I want to win a title. Comes back, plays well. They come up short. The way in which he's conducted himself,
I agree.
Smiles. He just seems like a good dude. I want to root for good dudes. I think he's exciting. I very much look forward to watching New Orleans next year. Those are my top three. Pelicans, Kings, and Hawks. And I'm bouncing around on some of the others. Unfortunately, I hate to say it, the Lakers are going to have to be in there. There are a lot of games that are going to come in for load management. Thinking about the Clippers because of Kawhi, but I think he's going to load manage as well. Want to say Philadelphia, but if they lose Butler and Harris, that takes a big hit. So yeah. I'm kind of up in the air on who the fifth is going to be.
Right, and if you look at what New Orleans is going to do, you know who's one of the best, I think, a young facilitator, and that's, you know, Lonzo Ball. You think about him with Zion, you know Zion's going to have a high-flying act. The biggest thing is, do they have enough shooters, knockdown shooters?
Well, they also have the fourth pick in the draft, so they're at least going to get another young, exciting, ready-made NBA talent, you would hope, at number four. We all expect Zion to come in and make an impact. He's going to play. Whether or not he has a great year or not, that's yet to be seen, because when you're 19 years old, or maybe he's 20 now, and you're going up against grown men 3 to 4 nights a week, you know this better than anyone, even though you obviously had an NFL ready-made body. When you got to the league at 23, all of a sudden you're going up against grown-ups each and every time out.
It's different, but Zion, I think, is that same kind of in that same type of mold. Big, physical. He's stronger than probably a lot of those men, and that's what I think the difference when you talk about it. Yes, I had that NFL body. I was still just as strong, if not one of the strongest guys ready-made in the National League, and this kid might not be too far behind.
Anna, where are you at on watchability?
So I definitely have the Lakers, the Pelicans, the Bucks as well.
Interesting. Now, let me ask you this. I know you're a huge Giannis fan.
Right.
they're trying to clear cap space. They're going to find themselves in a financial mess down the road. But if they lose Middleton and some of the other guys that helped him, you still have him up there?
I still do have him up there because I think Giannis is still going to try to make a big impact. And I feel like he's kind of has that Steph role where he's has something to prove this year. So I think he's going to have a monster year this next year.
He's a one-man watchability show. I mean, yeah. No one even knew who Middleton or any of these other dudes were until
Brogdon,
this season
whatnot.
When he brought him in late in the year. All right, so Milwaukee's on there. Who else?
The other thing that I find interesting, one, Portland's another team I'm actually going to be keeping an eye on because I think they still have some really good basketball. I love watching Dame and CJ. And also with Nurkic coming back, I think that'll be fun to watch them and see what they can do and what they can put together. In a weird way, I kind of want to share the fifth spot, and here's why. No. Listen.
This is getting dicey.
Yeehaw! Because of load management. Is there a way you could share the Warriors and the Clippers? Because I think you can get great first half of basketball, like the first half of the season, from the Warriors because you may have some watchability with Steph Curry going out there. You know, they're making a case that he potentially could be an MVP candidate this next year. Could he put out some good basketball? But because of the load management, same idea. If Kawhi goes to the Clippers, you're going to have some, like, it feels like it's a half and half. Like, it's almost two teams in one.
I see what you're doing. I'll allow it. In this situation, I'll allow it. Very well reasoned. We'll allow it. You found a good way to get that in there. Okay, you can have that one.
It wasn't a fence.
5A and 5B.
Yeah.
No, you weren't on the fence going, I can't make a decision. You made a decision and you laid it out well. I'll allow it. 5A and 5B.
You know why I'm excited to see Milwaukee?
As if I'm the one that makes the final decision.
No, it's fine.
I'll abstain. She's looking at maybe getting a majority draw here.
No, leave her alone. It was cute. I liked it. I understand. Yes.
Cute.
I had quaint, but I think we're both in the same jam.
Quaint, cute. Nice.
You got one yes and two abstentions, so you got a 1-0 decision, majority decision.
Exactly.
It's not as if our top fives were that great, let's be honest. I don't even think I gave a fifth.
I also had Milwaukee.
You can have 5A and 5B because I didn't give a five, so it still averages
there you
out.
Go. There you go.
But is Milwaukee, are we all wanting Milwaukee because are we going to, everyone wants to see, can Giannis mature and become the player that he needs to be? Meaning that.
That's exactly why I have him on there, Low.
They score a ton of points, too.
But can he develop his game? That's why I think the anticipation.
Well, he's like an 8.5 on a scale of 1 to 10. So I think about Milwaukee, and I think, where is that next gear for Giannis?
Right.
Can he develop more of a consistent outside shot and the three ball? Just watching him, and that's partly why I have Dallas on there as well.
We're back in the same church.
Kristaps Porzingis is such a unique player, and Luka Doncic as well. Those two as a tandem are going to be very exciting this year.
I was thinking about the Nets in terms of watchability because if Kyrie's teaming up with D'Angelo Russell and maybe they get someone else, there could be something there. But then I thought, you know what, man? Forget about Kyrie Irving. Dude's nuts. Like it's 1 minute you're watching him with the handles and it's like, man, he's fun to watch. Then he says something like the earth is flat or he has a falling out with his teammates. Now it's coming out that it was him and Jaylen Brown that had the big falling out. That it was him and Jaylen Brown because I think the argument is that Brown is actually a relatively intelligent guy, Cal guy, right? And that Irving kind of sees himself as an intelligent guy. And he throws out a lot of these preposterous notions like it's a flat earth and Brown calls him on it and they didn't get along in the locker room because they had that dynamic. Like Brown wasn't willing to listen to a lot of the garbage he throws out there.
Kyrie thought he's LeBron James. He was with LeBron James for so long and understood that LeBron was going to be his way or the highway and kind of a dictatorship. So he feels it when he leaves. Unfortunately, some of that rubbed off on him. And sometimes you don't know how to deal with it. It depends on who your mentor is. A lot of people don't understand you can have bad mentorship and you can destroy who you can possibly become. And he thinks that I'm doing this. This is what Bron did. But you know what? Did Bron do what's right all the time? Did he run coaches out? And you don't have the levity that he had. So, yeah, some people can be excused if you can bring me a championship or if you can be in the NBA Finals.
That's interesting.
But Kyrie, you ain't did that yet.
You play with LeBron, you start to realize, okay, when you're the star of the team, this is how you get treated. No, that's when you're the star of the professional sports world. That's how you get treated.
Right.
The star of a team, it's a couple steps down. That's an interesting point there.
And the idea of leadership is not something that you automatically walk into and get just because you're a guy who is an NBA champion. You have to earn it. And LeBron James, as much as I needle LeBron for some of his narcissistic ways, the guy's a flat-out leader, and he has been since he's 14. He employs his best friends in a business that he runs. The guy is a one-man CEO of everything he does. Kyrie Irving hasn't yet earned that gravitas, and when you go into Boston and you try to become that guy without earning the respect and the trust of your teammates, it's going to come across as hollow.
888-957-9570. Watchability rankings for the NBA next year. Watchability. The team doesn't have to win 60 games. They don't have to compete for the title. Most watchable. If it's a Wednesday night and all 30 teams are in action and they're all in neutral games, right? There isn't some high-profile game. Where's the watchability rank? This leads into Zion going to the Pelicans. How watchable will they be? How watchable will they be if they get Zion 1, trade up to 2, and take R.J. Barrett as well? Now you've got the Duke friends and teammates going from Duke to New Orleans together. That's an intriguing storyline. As we wait for some calls, 888-957-9570, I'll ask you this. Where do you have the Warriors on the watchability rankings? Try to remove yourself from the situation that, well, they're going to be high because we talk about them every day. Of course, they're going to be high for us personally. But if we weren't in the media business and we were just NBA fans, based on what's happening heading into this year, where would you put the – are they even top 10?
Bottom third, Coach.
Bottom third.
30 teams.
21 to 30.
Bottom third. And it's no –
yikes. That's down there with – I'm trying to think of who's like Charlotte.
Yeah, Indiana, quite frankly. I mean, Indiana.
Detroit.
Yeah, teams that, I mean, to watch Detroit, then you're going to watch a lot of Andre Drummond with, you know, 3 foot putbacks and Blake Griffin doing the Blake Griffin act. Although last year he had a great year and he became more of a grown up on the court, I'd like to say. Less of the theatrics and the histrionics, but they're still a bottom 10 team. The Warriors, you've seen Steph Curry do what he's done, and it's great. You're a little saturated. Your palate and your cup runneth over with Warriors basketball. And no KD, no Klay. You can see how Draymond may have a rough year from a composure standpoint if they're really bad. They're going to be as unwatchable as they've been since before they drafted Steph Curry.
Wow. Whoa.
I'm just keeping it real. And I'm going to watch probably 75 of their games.
Steph on a nightly basis.
You.
I mean.
And at the Chase Center.
You try to keep it fair. Keep it honest.
No, I appreciate the honesty. I'm thinking about how I know I'd go low. I don't know if I'd go that low. But okay. I appreciate the honesty.
Well, you've got a troll and, you know, I don't want to be the homer on the other side of troll radio.
Now you're firing shots at other people.
You're damn right I'm firing shots.
You happy I'm back and this is how you come at me? You're going to call me a troll when that right there was nothing but troll. Okay, why do you watch Atlanta? Who's a guy you love in Atlanta?
Trey Young is the most exciting of the players.
John Collins.
And what is Trey?
John Collins also a good player, but number two at best.
Exactly. Because Trey can come down court and pretty much shoot it from anywhere. Trey has that. You're not sick of LeBron James. All you do is you talk about me swing. You say, in spite of Lowe, what he says, LeBron James is still. How good were
pretty good Dibley right there.
I almost thought I was listening to Dibley.
How good were they this year, Coach? Okay? They didn't make the playoff, Coach. Okay? But yet and still, but now they're not watchable. Are you freaking kidding me? For you to sit here and talk about Steph and Steph Curry now because of what he can do.
All right, here's what we have to do. We have to find 10 that are going to be less watchable than the Warriors next year in order to refute him. We got to come at him with evidence. This was the big problem. Kendrick Perkins was popping off on Steph the other day, and I went off on him because he had nothing to back it up. He just went off on him with nothing to back it up. Give me 10 teams that are going to be less watchable than the Warriors next year. You don't have to rattle off 10 off the bat.
You'd rather watch Boston? You'd rather watch New York?
I don't know if I'd start with Boston.
I mean, start with
some obvious ones here. Let's Memphis.
Memphis, of course.
Even if Memphis gets Ja Morant, do you rank Memphis as more watchable than the Warriors?
No, you'd rather watch the Warriors ahead of Memphis.
Okay,
we're looking for 10 teams below the Warriors.
That's correct.
I'll give you 5 right now. The Suns are one of them.
As poorly run as they are, they're going to get another lottery pick on this team, and they're going to have Ayton and Booker. At some point, I'd like to think that the Suns might become a Kings or Hawks type team.
The Cavs?
The Cavs, without question.
Nice endorsement. At some point, I'd like to think that they'll be. Yeah, at some point, you'd like to think that they will be watchable, but I don't know when that's coming. 2030.
All right, if you both say Phoenix, especially if you agree, then I'll take it. I think that's a team you might want to buy a little bit of Sun stock. Just a little bit. Get a taste of some Sun stock.
They got some young, exciting players. When you look at Boston, I don't think they're excited. But anyways,
they're going to make some kind of move, though. They got a bunch of picks. They're going to make a move.
The Bulls.
No love for Lauri Markkanen?
You love the Bulls? Come on.
Markkanen, done. I'm missing another key name. They're thinking about trying to make a run at Jimmy Butler, which would be insane if they brought him back. And they've also got a high pick. It could be, Kobe White, the point guard from UNC. They're picking 7.
We'll score
it. I don't know. Do you think that?
I'll score that.
All right, Chicago. I want to flush it out. Is it flush it out or flesh it out? I've been wrestling with this.
Flesh it out.
Flesh it out.
Yeah,
so I've been talking about
down.
Flushing a toilet. And I really mean flesh it out.
You got to flesh it out. Yeah, I put the Knicks on my list, my hot list of teams that are more unwatchable than the Warriors.
Okay, here's where that gets interesting. If they get Barrett and Barrett makes plays and people are going nuts at the Garden for 31 wins this year, the Knicks suddenly – remember when Porzingis came into the league? Right, 3 years ago, we were talking about him all the time on air.
I loved him.
And he finished second in Rookie of the Year voting, and no one even knew who Porzingis was prior to coming over.
The
Knicks can be watchable as a bad team if they have at least one star player. Linsanity swept up the nation. Linsanity was like seven games.
Exactly, my point. The other 75 came back. Unwatchable.
Yeah, I think.
All right, if you want to put the Knicks in there.
Washington was on my list. Absolutely.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
And honestly, I can tell you guys a playoff team that you don't like watching. San Antonio.
I thought he was going somewhere else.
I did too.
The Spurs one, I really don't like watching Spurs games, to be honest with you.
Thank you. It's just like, okay, here we go.
You tune in for the basketball, but you stay for the Popovich third quarter interview.
All right, so you get that moment, which is nice. What about Charlotte?
Old Kemba Walker. Yeah.
Who might not be there.
Right. Charlotte. They got to be on there.
What's more watchable for you, the Warriors or Charlotte?
I'll go with the Warriors. I'll score that.
Charlotte. What about Detroit?
I got to tell you, I like Andre Drummond.
Detroit is, come on, no one watched
Detroit. Dibs, you're in a little bit of trouble here. What about Miami?
I'm a big fan of Goran Dragic with the left-hand power dribble. I'd rather watch Miami than the Warriors.
Right, what about Orlando? That's fine. It's on us to make the case.
I got you.
What about Orlando? You already dinged it?
Yeah, I dinged Orlando. You got to have Orlando on every list of bottom 10.
They got to the playoffs last year. They sure did.
And shout out Aaron Gordon from Mitty High School in San Jose. What a player.
But they play a slower, more defensive style of basketball, so it's not the most watchable as we continue our watchability rankings. Oh, phone lines are lighting up. We'll bring them in. Where do the Warriors rank in terms of watchability next year? Dibs, I've already got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
I got 9.
I got 10. Here, I'm going to read them off. Which one do you not have from this group? Memphis, Cleveland,
sure.
Phoenix.
Oh, Cleveland's the one I didn't have.
Yeah, there's 10.
CeeDee Osmond, he's a great young player.
Cleveland.
Hey, there you go. We've already back to I mean, funeral? Are we having a funeral this early for that take?
Man,
you got walk back 10 minutes later.
Yeah, I'd rather hit this before we...
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, they're in the middle third, people. Then. I have them in the middle third of watchability. Maybe they're not... Bottom third. Maybe I overreacted at the sight of a Jordan Bell, Jacob Evans pick and roll. Maybe I'm dwelling on that too much.
Maybe a quick death, a little Jakaris.
Well, look at you, trying to always burn people down.
Exactly. The rope is high.
Thank you, Khaleesi.
Mike in Oakland. That's what I do. Mike, welcome to the show. Watchability next year. Where do you rank the Warriors in terms of watchability? Remember, it doesn't matter if you're great. You just need to be watchable. Where are you ranking them?
Yeah, thank you. Good morning. I actually have the Warriors at number 5. Right ahead of them, I have the Atlanta Hawks. Right before them, I have the New Orleans Pelicans. And right before them, I have the Lakers. And at number 1, I have wherever Kawhi goes.
Interesting. Now, take me through that. You find Kawhi to be that watchable?
Well, I just think the two options that he's been pretty much saying are the Clippers and the Raptors. Either one of those guys are going to be competing at a high level. Both of them have pretty good coaches, a pretty good organization. So I think that either way it goes, you can't lose with that. The Lakers, obviously LeBron James, Anthony Davis is going to be interesting. The Pelicans, to me, could really jump up to number 1, depending upon how Zion and Lonzo Ball, how they look together. That could be really exciting for, I guess, like the next decade or whatever.
All right. Appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. Elijah in Hayward. Elijah, thanks for the phone call. Where will the Warriors rank in terms of watchability next season?
Good morning, gentlemen. I believe that they are going to be on the bottom third. I feel like the country is just tired of hearing the Warriors' name, not having Kevin Durant out there, not having Klay Thompson out there. It's going to be a rebuilding year. I imagine myself saying, who I think is going to grab a lot of watchability this year, you guys haven't mentioned yet, is the Sacramento Kings. I think they've been rebuilding for a while now. They have a lot of key players. So if the Kings are playing the Pelicans, I'd rather put that game on than the Warriors playing, like you said, Cleveland or something like that. I really feel like they're going to drop on the watchability scale because people are tired of us. Obviously, the real Warriors fans are going to check into the game. But a lot of the actual NBA, the Friday night ESPN games, no one's going to be watching those ones. Appreciate it, gentlemen. Love listening to you guys all season long. Hope you guys enjoy the offseason.
Appreciate the phone call and a lot of good points there as well. There's fatigue. There's voter fatigue, which is something that's very real when it comes to handing out MVP awards and like Coach of the Year awards to great individuals like Belichick and Brady. you probably could make the case that Bill Belichick is the coach of the year every year, yet I don't think he's won it since like 2011 or 12.
Right.
Yeah, all he's done in that time is what, go to 4 Super Bowls, win 2 of them? Yeah, he's not doing that great a job. Fatigue. And I think there's going to be watchability fatigue with the Golden State Warriors, which is why they might slide a bit. On the flip side to that, no Durant, no Clay, hodgepodge unit, Steph getting the opportunity to play, 30, 35 minutes and put up maybe 30 shots a game?
Right.
You're going to have some ridiculous Steph Curry games.
It should be exciting in spots, but I think one metric I think that will bolster my argument, even though I have backed the truck up and Anna burned me with dragon fire, the point of national games.
If you're just tuning in.
God, is all the national games. I believe they had about 30 games this year on either TNT or ESPN. When the new schedule comes out, and I don't know the NBA schedule release date, it's not as exciting as the NFL, but it's usually sometime in late July, early August. When that schedule comes out, I'm telling you right now, they won't have 30 national games. That will be cut in half. And that's all you need to know about their relative watchability.
Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Top 5 teams in terms of watchability next year. Atlanta seems interesting. New Orleans set to get Zion Williamson tonight. Rumor is the Pelicans are trying to take the 4th pick in the draft, which they also own. They got that from the Lakers and move up to pick number 2 in order to draft Zion's teammate, RJ Barrett. That was 28-1 last night. It is 7-1 this morning. Keep a very close eye on that. Lowe's back in the saddle with us today. We never got a chance to talk to you about what you thought about that Anthony Davis trade. Davis to the Lakers in exchange for Josh Hart, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, the number 4 overall pick, a lot of pick swaps and future ones. Yeah. When you saw that over the weekend, what were you thinking?
Anthony Davis wants to be a Laker, and Anthony Davis is going to do it. You know, it's going to be a long-term deal, and he wants to be a lifer there. He's in a market that he wants to be in, and I think the Lakers understood that before that trade went down. Here's a guy that you don't trade freaking your future and all those things for a guy if he doesn't want to be there long term. You wouldn't do it, especially with the 1-year deal that he has left on the table. So if you look at what's going on, Anthony Davis is going to be a guy that they're going to build around. He's 27 years old. He's a young guy. You got Bron for another 2 years or so at a high level. And so now they're going to have to pick some shooters around him and see what they can do. I thought, did the Lakers win in this trade? In my opinion, I don't think so. I think that you have what he can do is unbelievable, Anthony Davis, and you have a pillar for some years. But Ingram was a player that can go out and get you 20, 25, and 15 to 25, and he was young. And there's a guy that continued to grow. Lonzo, was going to always be a facilitator. He can be one of a great facilitator. Giving up your 4th pick in the draft. I don't know if they won, Joe. I really don't know if they won.
We're working on the audio for this, and I don't know if anyone saw this yesterday. There's this goofy parody account on Twitter that goes out of its way to try to trick people into thinking reports are real. Like one of those, I'm going to change my name and my picture.
Oh, man.
And if you're not paying attention, you'll get stuck with the retweet or you'll read the story.
I got burned by the fake rap sheet, famously.
Is that the one that got you?
Old boss, yeah, our old boss rushed over and demanded that I break this news. It would turn out to be fake news. Shout out former employers.
You were so happy about that. You're like, oh, I got it.
Delighted.
He was so mad.
He was so mad that happened. Red as a pistol.
I think it was rap sheet with threes instead of E's in the name.
Yeah, there's always something creative with it. And then they put the picture up and you're not paying attention. I can't name specifically when I've been tricked, but I know I've been tricked.
Adam Scheffner.
Well. Retweet like, oh, man, this is crazy. And then
burned.
Could I have just taken an extra 1.6 seconds and verified this? So this guy puts out this report that the dysfunction in Houston between Paul and Harden features a variety of reasons, one of which is that during practice one day, Chris Paul was making fun of James Harden's man boobs and that Harden didn't handle it well and broke down crying and left the court as a result. Like it brought him to tears that Paul was on him for his man boobs.
Wow.
This was just a joke. Skip Bayless took it and ran with it on his show yesterday, not realizing that not only was he being had, but they put the tweet up and he ran with it on the show. What's the show? Undisputed with Shannon Sharp.
Oh, he ran with that?
Undisputed with Shannon Sharp. So that chaos is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, NBA draft tonight. Warriors' first pick is at number 28. You're going to hear from Bob Myers in just a few moments on some of the ideas, concepts, and plans they have for tonight and beyond. But as promised, we have to deliver this audio. Skip Bayless yesterday with Shannon Sharp on Undisputed, talking about the rift in Houston between James Harden and Chris Paul. There's this Twitter account. I think this Twitter account is Sports Talk Barry. Barry has a podcast. I can't read off his real name because it's a parody name, and it's kind of like an IP freely sort of thing.
Gotcha.
I can say that one out loud. I'm not going to say
one
Barry's
one of the great
out loud.
Authors of the 1960s.
So, he has been kicked off Twitter once, but one of his goals on Twitter is to make his account at times look like it's Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, or Woj, so that he can try to trick big-name sports talk people into falling for his bait, falling for his fake trades or fake signings or whatever. Listen to what Skip Bayless is talking about yesterday. There's nothing on this except for this guy's troll tweet, and somehow Skip came across it and was talking about
Skip.
It on air. Take a listen.
Because the reports are this has been going on for 2 years.
Yes.
There was the one report yesterday that it got so bad in practice going back 2 years ago that Chris Paul was making fun of James' man boobs in practice to the point that he broke down in tears and had to leave a couple of practices.
He actually got him.
Man,
got
boobs?
Him.
This video, wow. Undisputed and Fox put the video up yesterday, and I'm watching it. I'm like, how did I not see this report?
How?
Where did they come across this? It's like, all right, maybe Skip's plugged in
Skip.
Or something. And I was showing it to
Skip.
Derek Papa, and I was like, man, I wish we had had this to run with on the air today. I go, what are you guys going to do with this? And he just shakes his head. He goes, what is this? He's like, this looks like nonsense. I stumble into it later. It was strictly a troll account trying to get someone to take the bait on the story, and that's exactly what Bayless did. Listen to this one more time. Can we play it one more time? This is Skip Bayless. He's got like 50 producers on this show.
Because the reports are this has been going on for 2 years.
Yes.
There was the one report yesterday that it got so bad in practice going back 2 years ago that Chris Paul was making fun of James' man boobs in practice to the point that he broke down in tears and had to leave a couple of practices.
Skip.
I mean, the
man boobs
broke down in tears and had to leave a couple of practices.
You should have known, Skip. I mean, come on. You should have known that right there. Once you said he broke down and had to leave practice, I'm at practice. My man boobs. Come on.
Man boobs.
So
I got
good.
30 some million reasons why I wouldn't be crying about man boobs. I mean, come on.
So good. So good. I got to be honest. I saw it when they talked about it at first. I was like, man, how's Chris Paul going to do him like that?
Right.
And why is James so sensitive? But I was willing to believe it. I'm like, man, James is really sensitive. Remember the time Kevin McHale kind of flicked his arm and he was all hurt and was looking back and rubbing his arm?
Taking him estrogen pills, I guess.
Oh, man.
Man boobs?
That's gold. I don't even know what of that I like the most. The fact that someone's out there with the creativity to put this together to try to get someone to take the bait. The fact that Skip took the bait. The fact that maybe Skip didn't take the bait at all. Maybe Skip looked at this and was just like, this isn't true. Let's run with it anyway. Maybe we'll get some people to laugh at it.
No chance.
You know,
no chance.
Do you know how many producers work on these shows?
Yes. Do you know how many mistakes of this order now are made routinely across all platforms? It's because people don't check. And yes, thank you for playing that portion of it. Shannon Sharp, who's right there, like, yes, Skip, preach on it, because I believe this too. He co-signs it with just one word.
And yes. You should know, right, Daniel? I mean, you've been appled on.
I've
far
been
from
duped. Yeah, everyone's been duped. But
of course.
To be duped on something like this.
You know, you just so casually worked that in.
Yeah, it's what happens, you know, when you're out there actually trying to do things and maybe forward conversations. Instead of just putting up pictures of myself working out and here's me coming off some curls and all that other stuff. Some of us are trying to do a service to our followers.
Man boobs.
Yeah. This is a situation earlier you talked about what happened with the ex-boss and that stuff. And I was just bringing back to fruition to say, man, yeah, this can happen. You're because you have been in media for so long. And it's, you know, you're disappointed about that. So I wasn't trying to.
Well, back in the day, Lo, if I may take you back a couple of decades, you used to go to the teletype machine where breaking news would come up and it would be physically a piece of paper. You'd go to the printer, you'd read it, then you'd tear it off. You didn't have to worry about whether or not something was going to be factually accurate when it's coming off the printer from the AP news feed or the UPI. Shout out UPI, the now defunct news feed. Nowadays, in this Wild West of social media and the race to be first,
right.
Skip obviously and his producers felt like they needed to be first with this story about man boob crying.
All right, I hate to break up the man boobs because I could do 4 hours on this, no lie. And then we could do some spillover, but we've actually got some real life news surfacing at the moment. I'm going to Bleacher Report. Mike Chiari is the author of the article, but he is acquiring the information via what Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider, said on Get Up this morning. I'm going to just read from the article. We're working on getting the audio. We're working on finding out more details of the story, but I am going to read you the article which just surfaced a few moments ago. The Golden State Warriors and Kevin Durant have reportedly discussed a unique solution that would allow KD to land a 5-year max contract while also having the opportunity to play elsewhere. Appearing Thursday on Get Up, ESPN's Brian Windhorst reported that one option on the table is for the Warriors to sign Durant to a max extension and then trade him. This is a quote from Windhorst on Get Up. One of the things that is being discussed right now is that the Golden State Warriors would offer Kevin Durant a 5-year contract, $57 million extra than he could get signing elsewhere. Let him rehab and then work with him to be traded, potentially to New York, potentially to somewhere else. It would be their way to sort of take care of him monetarily after what he just went through and also protect the franchise and get some assets. This from Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider on ESPN's Get Up this morning. So I'm trying to figure out, it doesn't necessarily sound like it'd be the type of thing that happens immediately.
Right.
They would sign him, they'd give him the max, 5 at $220 million. And this kind of sounds, and we'll have to shake like through it. This, but this kind of sounds like Durant would rehab here and sit the year out. And then when he's ready to go, they would trade him elsewhere in order to get something in return.
Beautiful.
That's the first thought on this?
I think every one of us should say, beautiful. You want to do it together? Beautiful. Because here's the thing, the situation.
I mean, need a reason why.
I'm going to go there. I just thought you guys would just trust me because, you know, I'm usually so eloquent and put together.
That's asking a lot, considering some of the nonsense I've heard come out of your mouth over the last 4.5 years.
Longest hour of the week, by the way, so far. I'm sorry, beautiful. You were saying.
Okay. Beautiful. So,
here's the situation now that we wanted Kevin Durant. You got what you wanted. Here's a guy that you're saying for 5 years. You got a 5-year deal. Kevin Durant was probably out the door, and this is some of that thing that kind of says, hey, yeah, he probably was. But now you're in a situation that they did the right thing. Here's a guy that went out there, and everyone was talking about him. Team, no one said, oh, he can get out there. Teams were talking. Guys were in the locker room saying maybe he could play. He should be playing. People became frustrated. Kevin Durant said, okay, maybe I should. I'm going to show you, and I'm going to go out here, and I'm going to dominate. I'm going to give it everything I got. He did that and then some. He passed with flying colors, and then he gets injured. So now they said, let's do the right thing. But if you let this guy just do a 1-year deal, if it's not, then all of a sudden he puts 1 year, he rehabs, goes again, and what do you get for him? Now situations say, let's give him the max deal. Kevin, we're going to do what's right. We're going to give you the max deal, but here's the thing. We're going to give you the bird rights that you can, that now you can be, you're that player that can say to go wherever you want, have control of your destiny. And a lot of players don't have that. LeBron's one of those players that have that. Only a couple players that have that. So now you put him in a situation that you can sign him, give him his max deal, and if he comes back and plays, he maybe even plays another year for the Warriors. But now teams are sought after him. They can take his contract, and he can go where he wants. I think the Warriors showing a lot to be able to do that, and they can get some assets for him. Because you can't let a talent like Kevin Durant get out of here without getting anything for him. I think this works out better for the Warriors.
Absolutely. It would be a win-win in this scenario if you're able to get anything resembling a fair haul back for Kevin Durant.
Beautiful.
And in a year when he's done rehabbing, you had your chance to go back to finishing your breakfast.
The look on your face.
It's a mix of disgust and sadness at what has happened to my career, quite frankly. But it is a win-win because you can't afford to let Kevin Durant walk out the door because you know you can't replace him financially because you're so far over the cap. By signing him in this scenario, he gets 5 and $220 million, which is an extra, $40 million than any other team could give him. And granted,
it's actually closer to 60, I believe.
57.
And plus the money you're going to have to spend in luxury tax payments, this is going to hurt you more than just $60 million worth or $57 million worth because you're over the tax. But the positive is you're going to get something back, and you're going to get a significant haul because there's going to be more than one team interested in KD.
All right, here's how this would work financially. Yeah, so, do you believe beautiful now? Would you be willing to say it with him?
Tell me how this works financially, Joe.
Can we just say it?
Is that a no?
Beautiful? Wouldn't that?
It's a no. I'll choose my own words, and then I'll use the air in my lungs to expel those words, and we'll be on to Cincinnati.
All right, so as it stands approximately, if Durant and the Warriors would come to an agreement on a deal, it would be 5 years, $220 million. That's the max he can sign here. Elsewhere, I believe it's something like four at 160, somewhere in that range. There's some change in there, a few million. You know, people like me, we don't really get caught up in the 2.5s and 3.1s. It's all the same once you make your first billion, as Bobby Axe would say. So it's $44 million a year. So essentially, you would be paying Kevin Durant about $44 million this year to not play. Then, according to this report from Brian Windhorst of ESPN, you would trade him. And if you would be trading him, assuming the rehab goes well, someone is going to acquire him and his 4 years, $176 million remaining. Again, $44 million per year in that scenario. With an NBA trade, though, if they were to move him, doesn't that mean you have to take on similar salary in return? So if he's going to the Knicks for $44 million, the Knicks have to send back about $44 million worth of salary. Is that not true?
Yes, in order for the trade to work, exactly. There's a certain percentage, plus or minus, where you're allowed to be over or under.
You got to be close.
You have to be very close.
All right, so this is where we're at right now. Let's reset the show. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning. Welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Low and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Low is back. We're thrilled to have him, and we've got a big show in store for you. Greg Papa on the dial pad guest line at 8:30. Mark Spears on the dial pad guest line in 2 hours at 9:05. The news that is breaking at the moment comes to us from Brian Windhorst of ESPN. He was on Get Up this morning, and he said the following, and I believe we're working on the audio. Do we have audio as of now? All right, still working on it. Take your time. Do your thing. I've got the quote. Quote, one of the things that is being discussed right now is that the Golden State Warriors would offer Kevin Durant a 5-year contract, $57 million extra than he could get signing elsewhere. Let him rehab and then work with him to be traded, potentially to New York, potentially to somewhere else. It would be their way to sort of take care of him monetarily after what he just went through and also protect the franchise and get some assets. Lowe thinks this is beautiful. He's laid out some reasons why. Dibs understands the concept
as
well. He thinks
it's beautiful too. Yep.
I'm thinking, what happens if the rehab doesn't go well? What happens if you make this offer, he accepts the offer, he goes through a year of rehab, not looking good, not getting a lot of lift. Maybe there's a setback. Maybe there's another injury that occurs. What happens after that point?
It depends on how good you are at doing contracts, because it's not just going to be a boilerplate 5 and 220 and we'll see after 5 years. There's going to have to be some restrictions in there. If he's unable to play at some point, you've got to be able to get out of the contract early, because
are you allowed to do that?
Or maybe at least, I don't know what the provisions would be. I never went to law school, but there'd have to be some protections from the club, as if to say, you know, if you're unable to make it back, then they've got to find a way to, I don't know if it's insurance, or there's got to be some offsets in there.
I think this is just part of the risk you take. I think if you're going to sign a guy and he just never gets healthy, that's just money that's tied up in that. These are fully guaranteed deals.
They are. And I think this is where they have the insurance, Joe, like probably like a Lloyd's of London or something that's coming in and saying, hey, look, this is what the league has to understand. Here's a transcending player, but here's the insurance to be able to cover that you know, that product or that individual, which is Kevin Durant. So I think there's got to be something in place, because you're right. If this guy doesn't come back, if there's a setback, and all of a sudden it's 2-3 years, you're like, man, what happened? I think the team has to have some type of protection, and I think it would be probably through some type of insurance.
Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 saying that you don't have to worry about taking $44 million in salary back if the team has the salary cap space. I'm not sure if that's true, but if they have the salary cap space to absorb, it could simply be for a draft pick or picks is what's being suggested. We'll get to the bottom of that at some point. We'll bring that to you. But the Knicks have more salary cap space than anyone right now. They're over $70 million for this year.
They've got basically no one signed. I was just checking their roster.
But they're number one in money available.
Yeah, it's great.
Number one, the New York
Knicks. Think about the Knicks, Joe. 90 days ago, as a Knicks fan, you're thinking, Kyrie and KD are both coming, and we've got a legitimate 12% shot of getting Zion as well. We're back, baby. Come to find out, KD rips up his Achilles. You lose the draft lottery, and Kyrie looks like he's going elsewhere, most likely to Brooklyn. All of a sudden, you're left holding the bag, going 0-3 on what was going to be a ready-made turnkey big three.
Basically, what we're seeing here is a very smart, very classy, and also very shrewd move on behalf of the Golden State Warriors. If Windhorst is correct that they are going to offer him this deal, 5 years, $220 million, he's going to sign it, spend a year here rehabbing, and then they will work to trade him. This works out well for the Warriors on multiple fronts. Number one, your good guy's doing the right thing. He came back for you. He got injured for you.
Yep.
It looks kind of dirty. The optics aren't all that impressive, aren't all that... It's a cold business, but it's not all that enticing to see him come back for you, get hurt, have all the speculation as to what went on behind the scenes, and then basically say, yeah, we're not going to make that offer to you. I mean, you're getting older and you injured your leg. And even though we spent all year talking about how the priority was bringing you back and now we have an opportunity to do it, we're not going to do it. That's just bad business. Those are bad optics. That costs you money from a PR hit. So very smart on behalf of the Warriors to make that offer. Number two.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.